Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Kerry Stevenson, and I've asked Thomas Lyon, he's the CEO of Taruga Minerals, to come and have a chat with us today. The ASX code is TAR. Now, Taruga Minerals have got a really interesting project, a couple of projects down there in South Australia, copper and rare earths, both of which are in the news at the moment. So, Thomas, great to see you. I'm going to call you Tom for ease as we go through. Good to see you. Thanks for joining me on Small Caps today. Before we get stuck into what you've been doing, give a brief overview, if you could, for our listeners about who are Taruga Minerals.
Sure. Thanks, Kerry. Really nice to be here. So Taruga Minerals are a greenfields exploration company. We've got some very large projects in South Australia and West Australia. Our core projects are South Australian, copper-focused initially. Yes, we have now encountered some rare earth elements, which we're pursuing. Our South Australian projects are approximately 3,500 square kilometres, including our granted tenure and our applications. So it's a very large land parcel. We peg system scale, kind of regional scale projects. So if we get onto something, we own the entire system. That's how we always go about how we acquire our ground. All of our ground's been pegged by ourselves, you know, free ground, coming up with new exploration models that previous explorers haven't identified. And we think we've got, you know, really, really prospective ground. Our drilling so far has proven concept that there's high-grade copper and other metals like rare earth elements present on the projects. And it's relatively early days in our exploration program. So exciting times on the horizon.
Well, exciting times on the horizon. But I was talking to you off camera, Tom, and you actually said to me, I've known about Mount Craig. This is the Mount Craig Copper Project there down there in South Australia. You've known about this for some time. I'd like you to just explain to us why you're so keen on this particular project and what its history is, because I think that's pretty important for us to understand, I guess, the potential size of the prize and why you're so keen on it, because you're a geologist by background. So you understand this sort of...
That's correct. Yeah, I'm a geologist by background. I spent many years reading the old company reports in South Australia to come up with the areas that I wanted to peg, reading reports back to the 1800s that weren't digitized from early mining. I ended up pegging Flinders Project was the first project as available ground, and it had historical mining back to the 1800s. But also at the same time, Mount Craig Project was a piece of ground that I really wanted. It was neck to neck with Flinders Project. It just wasn't available. Another company was holding it. And I've been watching it ever since. And as soon as that project became available, I picked it up. You know, what really attracted me to Mount Craig Project, first of all, was it had all of the ingredients for large copper systems. That really stood out. You know, it had the highest concentration of surface copper deposits and recorded copper deposits that I had in all of South Australia that I could see. So my eyes were immediately drawn there when I put the layers on to look at where all the copper occurrences were. But all those copper occurrences were centered around a large structure called the Warumba Anticline, which runs for 34 kilometres right up the centre of the project. And also, it's host to the largest diapiric breccia system. And I believe this is the largest in the Southern Hemisphere.
What does that mean for my people out there? He's gone into geo-speak on us, ladies and gentlemen. For the non-geos out there, what does that mean?
It's a very technical word. Okay, I'll explain it. So a diapiric breccia, basically, there was an ancient inland sea in the middle of South Australia hundreds of millions of years ago. Low-density rocks were trapped beneath high-density rocks. And just like any other thing, when you put a balloon full of air underwater, it wants to rise to the surface. So all those low-density rocks erupt up through the saltwater-rich sediments up to the surface, bringing volcanics and molten rock with it, dissolving out metals. There's a lot of salt in the system, so you get remobilization of metals and huge potential for large copper deposits. You know, we see these Kipushi polymetallic deposit in the DRC, and also Kamoa is also in a diapir. So some of the world's largest copper systems and polymetallic mineral systems are in diapiric breccias. This is the largest one I'm aware of in Australia and potentially the Southern Hemisphere, and it makes up the core of the project. And all the copper is speckled around that diapiric breccia system, and the structure that runs up the middle is is, you know, theoretically, we theorize the way in which the conduit in which that breccia came up to the surface. So it's got all the hallmarks of the ingredients for a very large base metal systems. And that really attracted, and it had a lot of mining in the 1800s. So there are about 60 historical artisanal mines spanning the whole 34 kilometers of strike at the project, and really limited exploration since that early mining finished, and very shallow drilling using limited exploration models. And most of the work was done up until the kind of 1960s, 1970s with very limited modern exploration. So a lot of potential for things.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt you, but who had it before you? And because the way you're talking about it, I'm sitting here thinking that actually sounds pretty exciting. And you're saying this could be a very large system. If that's the case, who had it before you, and why did they drop it if it's got so much prospectivity?
Sure. Well, if we go into the 2000s, it was not held for some time, but then in the 2000s, it was picked up by a company called Copper Range. They did some drilling. They hit some copper. They hit some good copper at a new prospect called Birthday Ridge. They basically sediment-hosted copper discovery. They hit copper and gold together at Hawk Prospect, and they had some big projects in the Gawler Craton, ISCG projects. Their board and shareholders, even though management wanted to continue to expand on those discoveries, decided to put all their attention into the ISCG stuff in the Gawler Craton, and subsequently dropped the projects, the Mount Craig project, what we call now call the Mount Craig project. It was subsequently picked up by basically a Chinese company called Dactyloi Metals, and they flew an EM survey looking for anomalies which indicated massive sulfides, particularly at Waiaka. Now, they didn't see what they wanted to see in that survey, and they dropped the ground. But what they didn't really recognize is that, one, that might not be the right exploration model for Waiaka, but two, there's thick pyritic shale sitting over the top of the copper mineralization. And so the EM can't really see through that. It masks the signal.
Okay.
Yeah. So they drew a conclusion too early.
Wow. And so to your benefit.
To our benefit. So we inherited all the data and came in with a new model, and we've proven there is high grade copper there. And we've really only scratched the surface.
All right. So what have you done so far in your modeling? What is it showing you? How much work have you done? I guess I want the big picture, and then I want to find out what you're doing, because to be frank, it's a little bit blue sky at the moment, even though you're saying that you know, this is what it shows. So I guess I need you to help us unpack and understand what it is that you're seeing as a geologist out there.
Sure. So what we're seeing, you know, from a technical perspective, is large structures running through a big system with lots of metal around it at the surface. Okay. And we've got about 34 Ks of strike. We've done some drilling at the north. We've hit high grade copper at Waiaka. We've done drilling in the south. We've hit copper, and we've hit rare earth elements. And we've did approximately 13 kilometers of drilling last year. So we've got a huge amount of drill data. We've been using all that drill data to convert that data into information to be able to refine our drill target and our geological model. We've also flown some high resolution airborne magnetics. And so we've done some radiometrics. We've collected high-resolution satellite imagery and spectral imagery. And we're using all of that, because most of our rocks are outcropping, to refine these new drill targets. And what we've come out, what we've come out the end of that process, which we've spent months doing for the first part of this year, with some really, really high-priority drill targets that we're very excited about. Those drill targets cover both the rare earth elements, so ionic absorption clay-style rare earth elements, sediment-hosted copper, skarn-related copper, and also Mississippi Valley-type base metals. So we've come up with about 12 to 15 priority one targets. We're in the process of whittling those down to a handful of targets which will actually be drill tested in July, starting in July. Okay. And the process of getting to, you know, that shortlist is on-ground reconnaissance exploration, which is happening right now. We purchased a new bit of technology, a ground magnometer. Basically, it's a guy walking around with a backpack with a magnetic sensor on it, very high resolution, picking up fantastic mag data. And we're modeling up what these targets look like up beneath the surface. We're doing soil geochemistry over the top. We're looking for alteration. And we're looking at where the structures are cutting across these reactive rocks where all the copper's dumping out. And also looking at the right environments for it, where all the ionic style rare earth elements are likely to be trapped. And we believe we've got very strong geological models, and those very specific and very strong models are what's going to be tested, you know, coming up.
How important is it to have that modelling done before you get out there and do some more drilling? Because you just said before you've done about 13 kilometres of drilling last year. Now it's kind of working out what that shows you and then doing your modelling. How important is that to make sure that you understand what to do? Because that's a big area that you've got, 34 square kilometres. That's huge.
Well, 34 kilometres of strike, the core project area is 850 square kilometres of project. So it's massive. You know, it is a massive project, and target prioritization is crucial. Doing all this first is very important, but also when you come into a project as a Greenfields Explorer, which has significant historical mining operations there, which haven't been drilled properly, you know, it's a good idea sometimes to go in and see if you can get some low-hanging fruit and drill around those mines, testing some new models that other companies haven't drilled, haven't tested. And we did that. We've hit the high-grade copper. We've hit some rare earth elements and copper down the south. And now we're in a position where now it's time to go back to, the basics and collect new regional data sets over the whole project, rebuild all the models, use all the drill data, and come up with very, very refined models and targets. So this is the right, you know, it's the right time to be doing this. We've invested a lot of time over the first part of this year in this process. And it, you know, it's going to be an exciting time coming to the drill program in July.
You made a very distinct differential there. South copper, sorry, north copper only, south copper and rare earths. Were you expecting to find, and there's a cynic in me saying, but everybody's fighting rare earths at the moment because it's the flavor of the month. But tell me about what you're finding and why you think that it's there, and more importantly, how does it sit within the project?
Well, the beautiful thing about the rare earths is that we weren't looking for them. So, you know, we did some drilling looking primarily for copper targets, and we hit rare earths over more than 6Ks of strike at Morgan Creek Prospect in the south. And in the last drilling program, we hit the best rare earth hits we've had, and we've hit some kind of rare earth element mineralization in clays now. So we're seeing that ionic absorption clay style, and then we've done some metallurgical test work, which has indicated they have a very high proportion of readily soluble rare earth elements, meaning a simple metallurgical flow sheet, cheap processing. That's what makes or breaks a rare earth element project. So really, before you go and start investing millions and millions of more dollars in rare earth element exploration, you want to know whether you've got, you know, what kind of rare earth elements you've got and whether they're amenable to low cost processing, which we're confident now that we, you know, what we have seen so far is amenable to low cost processing. The beautiful thing there is the upside is we've never done targeted rare earth element exploration of that project. And the rare earth element potential does not stop at Morgan's Creek. It's just the only place where we have drilled drilled in the south end of the project area there. But there are large, very vast areas where we have just identified large new targets for rare earths, which expand out from the areas of drilling at Morgan's Creek. And they have, you know, huge potential for more rare earth elements. We think that the beautiful thing about what we've got is that we're not just a rare earth element. You know, we don't just have rare earth element projects, but we've got copper plus the rare earths.
Yeah, and I think that's important as well. But I guess going back, Tom, to coming across this project in the first place, I mean, are you going to be doing anything else with the Flinders project, which was an original project that you started with, is all eyes on Mount Craig and what you've got there? Because it's a big area.
We would love to get back to Flinders Project, and we're hopeful that we're going to be able to return to deliver on our initial planned drill program that we have planned there at the Woolshed and Jenkins prospects. You know, that's out of our hands now. That is with the South Australian government to be able to give us the clarity on whether we can return there, and we're just waiting on a decision.
Just explain to our listeners, what was the challenge there?
So the challenge there was we initially had, so it's not native title land. So it's freehold land where native title's been extinguished. But upon an early drill program we conducted there with full authorizations from the government, we ran into some challenges with some local stakeholders who we weren't aware of, who claimed to have a heritage interest over the area. And we, out of respect, initially we immediately stopped the drill program upon their request. And we've since been liaising and engaging with them. We've conducted various surveys, and the outcome was that we would have to seek authorizations from the South Australian government to be able to continue exploration there. So that process is well underway. It's taken a lot longer than what we had anticipated to get a decision on that area. But we're at the final stages now and just awaiting to hear back from the minister.
Okay, the cynics out there would just turn around and say, oh, they're just pegging this other bit because there's not much there. So I want to find out, if I dare say this, can we dig a little deeper? That 13,000 metres of drilling that you did last year, talk to us about what you found. What were the results? What were the grades? What were you finding? Is it pure copper? I know that you've got a bit of rare earths there as well, but let's talk north, copper, what sort of grades and why you're excited? Because you've been in this industry for a while and you're pretty excited about what this, the potential that this area has, even more so than Flinders.
Yeah, I mean, it's important to point out, first of all, that we've only drilled a very tiny fraction of the Mount Craig project, yeah. And that a lot of the high priority targets that we've identified remain to be drilled. We did a lot of drilling. We hit high grade, our first program, we hit high grade sediment hosted copper at Wyaka. The geology at Wyaka is the same as the Central African Copper Belt. It's a direct analogy for that copper belt, which has, you know, the world's largest sediment hosted copper deposits and highest grade copper deposits. Wow. So that's the kind of models we're looking at there. We had initial intercepts of around 5 meters at 2.4% copper, with some chalcocite with a meter at 9.5% copper. We had 11 meters at 1.5% copper, and, you know, a few meters at 5.8% copper as well, with about 600 to 900 meters of strike, between those areas. And we hit, you know, copper mineralization of thinner intercepts of slightly lower grade, pretty much in every hole over the course of the project, over 2.5 kilometers of strike. We decided to pull up, go and take all that data and rebuild our model there before we return to drilling at Wyaka, which we've just about completed, as I just mentioned, and we'll be returning there soon. But in Morgan's Creek, where we also drilled, we hit low grade copper, but we intercepted a skarn system, and these skarn systems are typically large host base and precious metals, and around that skarn system there are rare earth elements. And so the beautiful thing is, you know, we can drill there and we can hit both rare earth elements and copper in the same target, multiplying the kind of potential of discovery across you know, diverse commodities there.
All right. So I'm talking to you now towards the end of May 2022. Going forward the next few months, paint a picture for our listeners as to what Taruga Minerals will be doing in terms of drilling. Big area. Drilling can be expensive. So talk to us about, do you have some support from the South Australian government? I know they're very good with exploration. And what are you going to be doing over the next coming few months?
Sure. In terms of the South Australian government, we received the single largest Accelerated Discovery Initiative grant from the South Australian government last year out of about 30-odd companies. And we were the only company, or the first company, to complete our Accelerated Discovery Initiative program, receive our full refund. We've just applied for two more of those grants. One of those is for rare earth elements across the Mount Craig project, and one's for sediment-hosted copper. We're expecting to find out this month whether we have been successful in winning one or both of those grants. But over the next couple of months, what people can expect, regardless of whether we receive further government funding, is drilling of new targets that have not been tested before, using all of this new information, this new knowledge that we've acquired from all the work we've done over the last year, putting us in a position where we have the best chance at success in making further base metal and rare earth element discoveries. And, you know, the beautiful thing is, you know, if you look at our market cap at the moment, we're at about 40 million this time last year. We're at about 10 million now. Everything we did then, all the, you know, the copper that we hit, the rare earth elements we've discovered since, the metallurgy we've had to show those rare earth elements are material, then all of the new prospects which are yet to be drilled, all that is upside, you know, for people coming in now. And it's a beautiful opportunity to take advantage of where we now stand and what's ahead. But we're really keen to get back on the ground and start drilling very soon.
Why do you think you were smashed so hard from that sort of 40 million down to about a 10 million market cap? Was that purely because of the delay with Flinders?
That's a huge part of it. You know, that is such a big part of why we were smashed so hard. Basically, the market kind of wrote the Flinders project off, which is premature, by the way, because we haven't got a decision yet on whether we're able to return there. And just progressively just, you know, reduced all the value of that project. But also, we weren't given value for material results which are being uncovered at the Mount Craig project, because so many of our early shareholders were so focused been so focused on Flinders, they can't see the amazing stuff which is happening at Mount Craig. So we need that mindset to change, and we need people to see the huge potential that's at the Mount Craig project now, which is being uncovered across both rare earth elements and copper.
All right, people. So you've got to stop focusing just on Flinders and zip across and go, all right, okay, let's have a look at Mount Craig. And I said earlier to Tom, you know, he's got a big background in geology, and he's actually said this could be a massive area. It's early days, though. So, you know, make sure you do your own research. Reach out, Tom, if you'd like to find out some more information. But they're getting underway in having a look at how big this system could go. Let's wrap this all up, Tom, into a nice little bow, and give me three reasons why our beautiful community out there should sit up and take notice right now of what you're doing to Ruga Minerals.
Sure. So number one, we've got huge tenement package, and we own the whole system area. So if we get onto something, we own the whole system. We don't have to share it with anybody. Okay. And the ground is very prospective. We're near tier one miners like Olympic Dam, Carrapateena in South Australia. Number two, we've got amazing diversity to very, very strong copper targets, but also very material rare earth element prospects now, which are developing. And many companies are either copper or they're rare earths. You don't get many companies which have such material exposure across both of those commodity groups, which are a perfect marriage with the renewable technology revolution and the electric vehicles, which are such an important focus now of driving commodity prices. And number three is we've really not done much exploration yet at these projects. There are a huge amount of targets which are very advanced, far more advanced than anything we've ever drilled before. And we're just about to go in and drill those targets for the first time using all of the knowledge we've acquired over the last year. And all the value we've built over the last year at the moment is not reflected in the market cap of the company. And so, it's really a beautiful opportunity and a nice time to get into the stock.
And as you said before, it was back in the 1800s where they were making a very nice living out of finding the copper. And where do you find copper? Where they found it before, which is exactly what he's got at Mount Craig. So we look forward to the updates. Tom, thanks for joining me on Small Caps today.
Thanks, Kerry. Really nice to be here with you. Appreciate it.